And our reading is taken from Luke and chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 1. One day, as he was teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. "Tell us, by what authority you are doing these things," they said. "Who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, 'Why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from men, all the people will stone us because they persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered, "We don't know where it was from." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Here's the man. Shall I pray with you?
Please.
Father, thank you for my brother. Thank you for your calling upon his life. Please speak into him and speak through him now to the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Good morning again. Yes, you can put that. Just give me a second. I'm just going to turn on a gadget, connect it to a computer that allows me, hopefully, to see on my screen here what you will all be able to see on the screen there. And it works. Right, good morning. Though I've already said that. I'm very quickly going to give this to my wife. These are my slides, and this is a slider. This is a clicker. I constantly forget to change my slides. So it's a safeguard. Now that's Ian. He's squaring everything up. I'll let him do that. So it may seem a bit of a strange passage to choose. And I kind of thought, yeah, that's a strange one. But I've been looking around the people that I work with and the people here at St. Andrew's. And I had to say, wow, there's an awful lot of things going on. We had our AGM meeting the other week, and they were talking about volunteering and about stepping up to do things. And I looked around the room, and I couldn't find a single person in that meeting that didn't volunteer for at least one thing within St. Andrew's. We've got an awful lot of stuff going on here. We are in Starbeck School praying. We're on the streets calling the Holy Spirit to heal people. We're feeding the lonely and the hungry. We're walking the streets of our community. And that's just really a very small part of the things that we do. And within my ministry role, as I support and travel and train young leaders and staff, I also think of the ones who are in Syria and Lebanon that I'm going to be with in June. These guys, their authority is being challenged every single day. So every day, even though it feels like the authority could be challenged at any single moment, and like you, I suppose I'm worried that when I'm challenged, I'm not going to have the right answers. I'm not going to have the right authority. And it's going to stop me totally in my tracks. Points of view is a prime example. We stick 63 people in from the local community, and then three of us stand there and answer questions. I was sweating profusely during that entire experience. So today I want to focus on and introduce five ways in which God guides us, and then just focus on a few of them. And because my brain generally can't cope with more than three things, I'm going to give you five, but I'm only going to probably focus on two or three of them. So, let me advance my slides, because I've forgotten to already. By the way, the stuff that I'm talking about was taken from day 110 of the Read the Bible in a Year. So that's the kind of inspiration. And if you want to find that online, you can just message Sam and she can send you a link to it. And we'll probably put a link to the webpage next to the sermon that you can listen to again. Okay. Five main reasons in which God guides us. So let's rewind back to 1982. Okay, what happened in 1982? Any of you can remember 1982? It really is a blur, isn't it? Okay, so I'm not going to focus on the fact that Men at Work were number one with Down Under, okay, even though that was a particularly significant time. This little thing. What is it, Adam? It is. It is a Rampack, a 16K Rampack for a ZX81. it was amazing. The 16K Rampack allowed me to take the 4K memory that was inside my ZX81 and program it, and that was buy a magazine, copy out all the code, typing it manually to make a game on the computer. Okay? So I would then be able to drop a bomb on the city as the plane went across. Now, bear in mind, this was a 4K computer. This isn't 4K Ultra HD. This is 4K, and I don't even think that the 4K computer would have powered one pixel on my iPhone. So I think my iPhone has around about 2 million pixels that make up the display, and, of course, other phone manufacturers are available and make phones. So my computer, back in 1982, would not have even powered one pixel on my phone. Let's go forward a little bit. 1988. A rare letter day in the space-time continuum. Any suggestions? Did it really? Amen. Langford Travel opened in 1988. Wow. But that's not what I was thinking about. Caroline.
I think I'm right to say that I did my GCSEs that year. That was the first year of GCSEs.
Gosh, that means you're 1 year younger than I am. I was the last year of the O-level outtake or intake. Okay. Close. So it could be the introduction of GCSEs. Definitely a red letter moment would have been the introduction of Langford Travel. For me, it wasn't the invention of the disposable camera, though that was quite important. It wasn't the Doppler radar was also invented, which in my travelling is something I'm very thankful for, though I do believe I think Doppler does weather more than it does objects. And it wasn't the introduction of the truly mobile phone. And when I say mobile, these were the ones that were no longer connected to a large battery. Okay? For me, 1988 was about street lamps. Street lamps were a very integral part of me getting my driving license to drive my first car. When I was taking my lessons and getting ready for my test, my driving instructor said to me, he said, you're always looking forward, you're never looking back. He says, you need to know what's behind you at all times. And I'm like, that's really interesting. And he said, if you're ever going to pass your test, you always need to know what's behind as well as what's in front. So every time that I passed a street lamp, I would make sure that I looked in my rearview mirror. And still to this day, when I drive past a street lamp, I always remember to look in my rearview mirror. And that allowed me to pass my driving test. And by doing that, it gave me the freedom and to drive around all over the place. And yes, my very first car was a Morris Ital, a Y registration in that colour, Morris Ital. So now I've started continually looking in front of me. And it's one of those things that you have to train yourselves, that we're constantly looking to the future. Where am I going to be next? What am I going to be doing? In my life, with God's guidance, He's brought me to this particular moment in time. The collective knowledge of everything that I have experienced, everything I've done, I can look back on and I can reflect. And that information may be useful to other people, but it's absolutely essential to me. It forms my opinions, my moods, my absolute everything, and how I move forward in day-to-day life. So, even though I've been driving for an awful long time, even though, yes, I did own and use a Sinclair ZX Spectrum, and yes, we are now inspired completely by modern technology, five ways in which God guides us. I'm going to give you the five C's, but before I do that, I'm just going to show you a little video.
And that his goodness permeates everything, and they actually want and can meet people right here in a train station, right here today. That his goodness and that his son actually paid for that. That every single person that you see around me can have an encounter with him today. So I'm just really excited to meet up with some friends I haven't seen in a while, and we're just going to do this thing where we're going to pray for people, trusting the Holy Spirit to answer in miraculous ways. These guys are some of my heroes, and so we just want to demonstrate to Youth for Christ, the Youth for Christ family, that God is able, and that, you know, when Jesus taught us to pray, and he compared and taught us about a father who's good and who answers prayer, he actually says, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those who ask? How much more will the Father give good things to those who ask? And that's this incredible invitation that God wants to give good things and great things, and he wants the reality of his Son to be seen through you and me.
This will be on the front of the train as it
begins. Saw one man with crutches, young guy. Went up to him and just said, you know, nice and gently, sorry to bother you. It's going to sound a bit crazy, but what happened to your leg? Because if you want to know how to stop someone and open up a conversation, people love talking about their illnesses, what they've gone through. So we said, look, I've got cancer. I said, okay. Shared my testimony and said, look, Jesus Christ changed my life, and we've been seeing people healed everywhere, all over the UK. Can we say a short prayer for you? He said, absolutely, I've got nothing to lose. So just grabbed his knee, put my hand gently on there and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Doesn't matter what the doctor says or what the devil says or what his leg says, by the wounds that Jesus took, be whole right now in Jesus' name. He checked it and he was like, you know what, thank you very much. I'm going to keep standing on what you've prayed and let's see how it goes. Then I shared my testimony with him and I said, look, man, you could get healed right now, but still not know Jesus. And when you take your final breath, go to hell. And said it in love and just said, look, Jesus changed my life. I was on the way to prison. He can do the same for you. You're facing cancer. It's a life and death thing. And, you know, if you jumped on a taxi, someone said, oh, where are you going? And you said, I don't know. I'm just sitting on a taxi. That sounds crazy. But I said, the same way, where are we going to spend eternity? We wake up, make money, go work, go sleep, wake up, make money. Where are you going to go? I've got good news. You can have an assurance and a guarantee of when you take this final breath, you're going to be with Jesus. All you have to do is put your faith in the cross, repent from your sins, and ask Jesus to fill you and come inside you, and your life can never be the same again. And right there, he said, listen, I want this. I need this. I've got question marks and blah, blah, blah. He accepted Jesus right there on the spot. He needed to catch a train. But in the midst of them few moments, that counted for eternity. So I want to encourage everyone watching, a Christian laying his hands on someone or telling someone about Jesus can make the difference between them going to heaven and going to hell. We're just starting out here. We're just warming up, getting ready to see what God wants to do. God bless.
That was a very interesting evening, walking around the Bullring in Birmingham with five very enthusiastic Christians who just wanted to pray for people. It put me completely out of my comfort zone and really opened my eyes to the way in which they engaged with people. They just literally walked up to people and said, can I pray with you? Pray with you. And the majority of people said yes. You know, when they did it in this kind of very kind of non-confrontational way. So it completely blew me away. Interestingly, I was filming what they were doing, and then security actually came and took me out of the shopping mall shortly after that was filmed, because apparently you have to have permission to film in a shopping mall. So, anyway. So, let me get back on track. So, the five C's. Let me quickly just list them. So, the first of them is commanding Scripture. Having a good knowledge of the Bible. Compelling spirits, the Holy Spirit, praying, asking for guidance, praying, asking for healing, praying, asking for direction. Council of the saints. That's the church. That is us. That is how we make sure that we're being accountable. It's how we grow. It's how we develop. My favorite one of all. Common sense, something that I forget so frequently. And if you're ever uncertain about that, just ask my wife, Sam. She will tell you that common sense is something that I have in a small portion. But the ability to reason, to ask questions, to challenge. Common sense is a great thing. You know, hey, we're going to go out and pray on the streets. Can I just ask why we're doing that? Can I just ask if that's a good idea? Circumstantial signs. Providence, knowing that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, a manifestation of divine care or direction. So, do you remember within our Easter service Sunday, Phil told the story about going on a bear hunt? He said, we can't go, well, the book says, and he merely read, you can't go over it, you can't go around it, we've got to go. I was totally overwhelmed by how many people actually joined in that story and knew it word for word. So he said, it was the challenge, we've got to go through it. Life is a series of obstacles, and most of the time you've just got to go through them. Jesus was constantly under attack from the religious police of his day. They challenged the fact that he was even the Son of God, and he certainly did not shy away from controversy and from confrontation. So after his authority was challenged, he shared a parable of the tenants, and Jesus shows that God's servants can expect trouble. The servants were beaten, they were sent away, empty-handed, they were threatened, they were shamed, and they were wounded. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him. They sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one was also beaten and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent a third, and they wounded him, and they threw him out. The owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him. But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. This is his heir, they said. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. I think this was Jesus explaining the divine guidance that led him to the cross. However, it also led to his resurrection. And behind it all was God's purpose and his victory. What Jesus did was the appearance of failure, but Jesus accomplished more in his life, death, and resurrection than any other person in human history. Of course, much is said in the New Testament about the way in which God guided Jesus. And in that passage today that we see that, we see that when commanded Scripture, be extremely careful to avoid any situation in which ministry is being used for personal gain. In the lead up to the passage that we read, Jesus is in the temple, and it's written, he said to them, in my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of robbers. Jesus' understanding of God's will came from studying the Scriptures very carefully. When, in the same way we study the Bible, we will also find the way in which God is guiding all of us. The compelling spirit. When Jesus is questioned about his authority, he challenges the religious police with a question about John's authority. Jesus is suggesting that John received his authority from heaven, that is, from God himself. The clear implication that Jesus' own authority also came from heaven. It came from his close relationship with God. Even his opponents recognize the truth. In Luke 20:21, where it says, "So the spies questioned him, 'Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?'" In Jesus' teaching, Jesus was not willing to carry favor or show partiality. He was guided by what he knew to be the truth, and he spoke the truth fearlessly. Jesus challenges the premise behind their question, to what earthly power should we give our primary allegiance? He explains whether we give God our primary allegiance that we owe him, or whether we count ourselves as citizens of the kingdom before the earthly one. I was getting myself very much wrapped up in this, especially when I was reading the parable of the tenants. Do I consider myself a child of the kingdom of God before I am engaging within my community? Luke tells us in Luke 4:1 that he was led by the Spirit. I believe it was the Holy Spirit that gave Jesus the answers, as Jesus walked in close relationship with God, studying the scriptures and teaching the truth. The Holy Spirit prompted him with words of extraordinary wisdom. Let us pray. Father, help me to follow the example of Jesus, to stay close to you and to hear your voice as I read the Bible and seek to be led by your Spirit in this coming week. Amen.